you will have chaos in your design process. You just have one choice to make. Either is it the chaos is early or it's late. And you clearly don't want to be late.
Welcome back to Insights by Design. We're incredibly excited to be joined today by Aurelien. Aurelien, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on a Friday evening in France. And we're extremely excited to speak with you because you've been doing so much online that just really has resonated with Michael and I, Michael being the design expert and I being in data. And you've really crossed both of those worlds in a unique way and focused on product in a really effective way. And we just really wanted to speak with you about that because I've seen your information that you've put on LinkedIn and your website, and I'm like, Aurelien's got it nailed down. He's doing everything right. So we're so thrilled to speak with you. For those who haven't come across you yet, Aurelien, would you mind just giving a quick intro and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So my name is Aurelien Vautier. I live in Nantes. It's a small city in the west coast of France. And I'm a data visualization designer right now. My background is quite crazy, since I work for a company in computer way, in design. And then I end up in the company working in data visualization, which is the information lab. You probably know it. We work a lot with data visualization tool and data preparation tool. And then I became a trainer in this company. And so that's at this moment, I really find my passion about teaching to people data visualization and teaching design around data visualization.
So tell us more about how you got your start. What's your educational background?
Oh, I don't have any degree. I don't have any, you know, master or anything. I left school quite early, and I'm clearly a self learner. I start in a small company, working for big company as a consultant in insurance. And I remember one of my first mission was to push in production the website of the company. And clearly we had at this time different problem for the website. When the package was made, we had some difficulty to make the website run on the Wednesday. So I decided to create an Excel file and just use colors and in small cells. And at the end of the year, we end up having, you know, giant column with orange, and everything else was in blue. So that's clearly at this time I discovered my passion around data visualization and design. And we had a huge problem on Wednesday, and it was made with Excel. But now I've had the chance to use other tool and of course to help people better understand data visualization with tools such as Power BI, Tableau, and other type of business intelligence tool.
Fascinating. So your career started with one Excel spreadsheet, and it grew from there.
Yeah, and one Excel spreadsheet without any automation, any VBA, nothing, just one Excel. So this is why I cannot blame Excel now.
I find it interesting that you began your career as a consultant. Some of the most successful data entrepreneurs and data professionals that I've met also started as consultants early in their career. Are there any skills that you learned from being a consultant that you feel like has really helped you?
Yes. I believe that one of the skills I've had the chance to have and polish during the time is the I'm not sure we can call it like this, but the hacking skill. Mm-hmm. It means that from a customer to another, from a mission to another, you always have to adapt and you always have to find solution. And thanks to this skill, I've found a way during the years to find a path to a solution to each dashboard I was able to work in any project. There was 95% of the time the same problem. And that's at this time I had the chance to circle back to my own design skills. And even if I have no degree on this, I don't call myself a designer, but I had the I had the opportunity to bridge those two worlds that are so interesting, but they don't talk to each other yet. Not enough from my perspective.
We completely agree with you. What, when you were beginning to work on those dashboards and to see that there's consistent problems across clients, what were some of the problems that you consistently recognized in those dashboards?
So mainly there are two family of problems. The first one is the most visual one, is the lack of usage of or the lack of knowledge around user interface and usage of color and usage of the best practices of data visualization. Things such as having, you know, too many charts in the same dashboard, or too many filters. It's always about having too many things. As I said during my training or coaching people in this field is always about removing. I can't even remember having one coaching and ask people in the room to could we add something? Could we add one chart? No, it's always could we remove this? Could we remove this? Maybe let less color, less chart, less. So this is the first family of problem, we can say. And the second one is clearly about the human-centered design of things and usage of data visualization. So we spend so much time working on dashboards, and I don't even consider working on the data preparation. And at the end, we present those dashboards to an audience. They haven't even had the chance to say a word or to be interviewed or to have any thoughts about the conception, about their struggle, their problem, their own business. And I think that most of the time we forget that dashboards are made of data, of course, but the dashboards are really human and help people, and we forget to put this in our processes when we create dashboards.
So this raises a dilemma for a lot of designers, Aurelion. So if Henry Ford famously said that if he would have asked users what they wanted when he was developing the first automobile or one of the first automobiles, they would have said, "We want a faster horse." They couldn't even conceive of what the future had in terms of technology. So I want to ask, how do you balance best practices in design with what users want? Because sometimes users don't necessarily know what they want, or sometimes they give you unhelpful feedback. How do you balance those two things? So let me rephrase that question. How do you balance best practices in design with what users say that they want?
Okay. So the best practices are not up to the end users from my perspective. We don't ask end users in a giant company to learn more about data and data visualization. plus their own job, their own business. We should have, at this point, experts. And I don't mean dashboard designer yet or dashboard developer, but expert in data visualization that facilitate the interview and the needs gathering to in order to rephrase the needs and the problem that end users could face in the daily basis. So the first point is this one. The second one would be, I never expect end user coming into a workshop and understanding everything about data visualization. And that's why when I interview people, when I do brainstorming or ideation, sketch, anything, I don't like to start directly into the design step and ideation and we will help you create a solution. No, this is not how I do that. I like to have a great moment of sharing about what is the power of data visualization, what a success in this company looks like. And when I mean a success, I don't mean a fancy, pretty dashboard because it's so easy to do. I mean the dashboard, or it could be an analytics report that is easy to use, easy to find, that brings value to the company and that helps people take better decisions on a daily basis. And then only after that, I start to, might be an interview or anything else. But if we start too early, they have so many things to do. And they will not be, they will not embody the same dynamic that we want to implement in this situation. It will just be one another meeting for them.
Yeah, I sometimes tell my students in UX, ask your users about their needs and their problems. Don't ask them what they should do about it. But it sounds like if you educate users on the purposes of the company or maybe some general principles of design, then maybe they could inform the process in that way. But in general, I think it's probably a best practice to help users recognize their needs, their wants, their values, and then present them with ideas rather than asking them what you should do about their needs and their wants and their values.
Yeah. That's exactly why I don't ask for solution, because end users always have solution, but they don't know data visualization, they don't know data most of the time. So we can hear and take their solution and then we can start to work. But you know, when I have a problem at home and I need to call a plumber, I will not tell him what to do because I don't know what to do. So you're the expert. Just fix this.
There's a famous clip from the TV show The Simpsons where the head of an automobile manufacturing company puts the main character, Homer Simpson, in charge of designing a new car. And he goes crazy. He says, I want a bigger cup holder. I want a fancy horn. I want all of these little things that ultimately don't matter. And the end result is an absolute mess. It's a car that looks like it can barely roll. It's a car that costs so much they could never even sell it. And it's a poignant illustration of the dangers, I guess, of elevating users beyond their level of helpfulness or beyond their level of expertise. And I think that's a challenge for anyone who works in human-centered design. We care about users, we care about their needs, we care about their voices, but we need to set them up in the design process in ways so that they can be successful and so that we can be successful as the designers.
Yeah, exactly. And if I may add something to your thought, is that we talk a lot about data and we talk a lot about change management around data visualization. But I believe that if you have the best tool and the best processes for data visualization and the best expert, but you are working in a company that doesn't get UX and that we have to improve people in this process, it will be very difficult to do.
And you've done a great job of looking at data visualization and dashboards as data products and bringing that product mentality to working with users, developing features, and implementing feedback. How did you come to implement that process in your own design? You're consistently putting information out on the internet about how to work with end users, how to manage the product. Where did you come to get that information?
Oh, how did I learn that? Mm-hmm. Mostly on the field, I believe. As I said, I'm not an expert in UX or design. And to be completely honest, the first book of UX I read is this one. You probably know it.
Oh yeah,
famous.
Yeah, and so for me, it's more about the logic that's spinning around bringing the best solution for any problem. And I can have one problem, but if we don't try to sort it out in the same room and talk about it, and I want to deeply understand what's the main difficulty of the end users. But if I never take this chair to sit with them and ask questions and deeply understand that, I will probably spend 40, 50 days building a data product. And when I will show it to them, I have one chance out of three that he will discard it or will be mad. And I have one chance out of three that he will not get it, and the last chance I have is that it's a bingo and it's just luck. And I want to remove the luck part of the equation, because data is so conceptual and difficult sometimes to master. I really want people to bring back the human center, the human sharing experience and talking to each other. It's key for me. So when huge company or even medium company has analytics team and the best experts and the best methodology, if we don't ask people what are their own problem, we will not find the best answer and the best solution.
Mm-hmm. I see a lot of job ads that say we want a user researcher and designer, and an ideal qualification is a PhD in anthropology or a PhD in sociology. But I'm not sure all of those theories always matter based on what you're saying, Aurelion. It sounds like it's listening and empathy that really matters. How do you think people in data and people and in design can better cultivate empathy?
From my point of view, it's already a part of my character, of my it's how I work. I'm an empathic person. I believe that we cannot fake it, or if you try to do it, you will exhaust yourself. So That's a very interesting question. It reminds me that I am someone who truly and deeply love to help people and find solution to difficult problem. And I guess it's one thing that helped me currently in my missions. And if you don't like to help people, you probably won't be a good designer.
I love that. I think you're exactly right that most folks in data are there because they love problem solving. They love to get a challenge, to come up with a solution and to implement it. And I think part of what you've described is how you're implementing empathy and understanding your end user. One is your natural characteristics, but two, you've built a process around that that gives you the space and time to get to know them, their needs, and what they're trying to accomplish. I think as we get to know people better, we naturally have more empathy for them and their needs. One way to scale, one pushback that I've had from people about implementing more design principles and treating data analytics and data visualization as a product is that it's more difficult to scale. It's much easier to just build stuff and put it out there and say, here you go. This is self-serve analytics. Figure out how to use it. But if you can identify the right stakeholder, the right end user who can represent a large group of people and who knows that large group of people's needs, then you're golden because you get to know them, you get to know what they need, and then that translates into a data product that lots of people can use. Which is why I'm excited that you're building and have, well, you've already built, but are expanding Data Viz Clarity. For those who haven't come across what you're doing there, can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Yeah, of course. So Data Viz Clarity is born 1 year ago. And for 1 year, so 2 years ago, for 1 year, I've challenged myself with no particular goal in mind to create and share one illustration a day, a work day, because I need to rest, for 6 months. And I ended up creating more than that, but a lot of different illustrations that allow people to visualize those different concepts, difficult concepts, and also puts a visual on some situations in companies that people faced, but they didn't have the chance to talk about, and they struggle on this part. They struggle gathering need, talking to end user, or even creating a chart for this situation or this goal. So I've had this great moment of creation, of pure creation, with many constraints. The first one was to have a square, and the second one was to only use two colors and just forms with Figma, the tool I use. And by putting those constraints, it was way more easy to illustrate those situations. If I had so many possibilities, any tool, any color, any forms, it would have been way more difficult for me. So sometimes adding constraints help creativity. And so we focus on the problem. And so I published those illustrations for probably 5 months, and my first post got something like 2 or 3 likes. And little by little, people get interested, and they start commenting. And I remember having some illustration where people were tagging their own boss, saying, you see, I have this problem too. So I get quite addicted to that, because I find it so fascinating that me from the west coast of France in my small city, I could wake people's minds around those problems. And that's where Data Viz Clarity was born.
And your visuals are very popular on Data Viz Clarity. You can buy the library for lifetime access. And I know several data professionals who have the poster printed out on their office wall. Yeah. That you created, because it's so good.
Which is crazy is that I receive many pictures from people printed it with a frame, a giant poster, and I was jealous because I don't even have one in my office.
We got to get you one.
Yes, I have to buy it from myself.
I also love your idea of constraints. I hadn't thought of that before, but it makes a lot of sense. And I think that you stumbled across something that the best designers use. Alberto Cairo, who is, you know, writes prolifically on data visualization as a former journalist, but then the Financial Times and the New York Times, when they create their really good visualizations that are usually in print, not the ones online, they're using similar constraints. They're often small squares. They use one, maybe two colors, and they're renowned for having just the some of the absolute best visualizations because they're able to cut to the principle of the problem, just like you are. I love your visualizations so much because they're so simple, but they're also so clear and illustrate the concept so well. As you're building a visualization, what is your refinement process like? By that I mean, like, how often when you create a visual, are you often going back and editing it frequently before you release it? Or are you able to really create a visual and it's like one and done, you've really nailed it on the first try?
This is a great question. I have two different process, I would say. I have the first one would be the small square illustration I post almost every day. And those one are mainly, I have an idea or a situation at work or during a discussion or anything or reading a book, and I sketch something with just a piece of paper or my notebook or anything, and it I don't even want to show you because they are so bad, and the only goal I have writing this down and sketching this on the paper is just to not forget. So it could take 10 seconds. I want my idea to be out of my mind and my head, so I write it down. And then I start creating it in Figma with the less pixel possible, because I really like the minimalism design. This is something I love that. Having the less possible pixel to convey a message, an emotion. So this is always my goal, to put the less ink, less pixel possible to make the message more clearer. And I have a second series of illustration, the large one, which I try to debunk different concepts. For instance, I have one in mind is the four design thinking methods. You know, in design, we really well know what is the difference between a sketch, a wireframe, a mock-up, and a prototype. It's clear. Everyone knows that. But when you take these design steps into data, it gets so confused that everyone talk about prototyping and sketching into Tableau, and no, you can't sketch into Tableau. So we have to be careful about this because terminology matter. And so I have those kind of illustration could take between 5 and 25, 30 hours to create. Could be a long process.
One thing I love about your process is that you start with paper and pencil. I work with a lot of young and aspiring designers who spend so much time trying to learn Figma and Tableau and all the fancy tools. But how do you know if you're even designing a good idea? A lot of times you can get better feedback on the ideation if you start with paper and pencil. And maybe you've had this experience too, Aurelion. But I find that if I show a fancy mock-up or a fancy prototype to a user, they can feel stressed and think, oh no, he spent so much time on this and I don't really like it, but I don't want to say that. I don't want to be rude. As opposed to a pencil sketch, users can see, oh, this is something that the designer is still thinking about, I feel more free to say what I actually think and focus on the big picture as opposed to the little details. And so I love that you still use paper and pencil in your designs and not just all the fancy tools. I think that's a valuable lesson for anyone who works in design or wants to work in design. Use your paper and pencil. They are still your friends.
Exactly, yes. So many people spend so much time talking about, do I need to prototype on this, on Figma, on Illustrator, or Photoshop, or anything. Sometimes the easiest way to resolve and solve your problem is just a pen and paper, and it costs nothing.
I noticed this may not make sense. We'll cut it if it doesn't.
We can always fix it.
I worked at a restaurant in high school where they're famous for giving out chocolate mints at the end. There's little squares. It's called the Olive Garden. And really bad Italian food. Don't ever go there. But
yep, there goes that sponsorship.
I noticed that when we would have a big plate of these square chocolates, and if I had it perfect, if I created like a really nice shape, like had them all stacked up very nice, nobody would ever take them. They didn't want to ruin the shape. But if I took a couple out, like I made it look not perfect, maybe I dropped a couple around it, everybody took some. So I think your concept of creating just a quick wireframe or a quick prototype not only helps us, but also it helps us ideate quickly, but it helps us also make our process approachable to our end users. As Michael noted, if it looks perfect, if it looks like we put so much work into it, then it's hard to give the feedback on. It's more intimidating. But if it's just drawn out, like if we did it quickly in Figma or Scala Draw or pencil and paper or paint, it's like, okay, yeah, it's low risk to give feedback on this. We can just erase it and draw something new. I think that's a good principle to have.
So in short, yeah, embrace chaos in the design process.
Exactly. I have an illustration on this one. Chaos in the design process is inevitable. You will have chaos in your design process. You just have one choice to make. Either is it the chaos is early or it's late. And you clearly don't want to be late, because if it's late, it's too late. It's a non-structured chaos. If you want to choose your chaos, choose the early one, because you can structure it and you can manage it your own way. And the less we talk to end user, and the more we say, "Oh, let's remove the workshop; it's not necessary." We will see the ideation later. The chaos that is coming will be very, very difficult to tackle. And I had another thought when you were talking about the ideation, is that when you ideate with pen and paper, of course it's quick and easy to do, but also you can do it in front of the audience and the end users. Mm. And that's one of the most difficult thing I had to do during my mission, but it's also one of the most rewarding thing, because when an end user are looking at their own dashboard, taking being created in front of them, they clearly start to become your friend, and they get the dynamic and they want to help you, and they see how you want to help them. And then after that, they become sponsor with you.
So user research can be a performance.
I think so. Yeah, I always try to be the most transparent possible with end users, and I want them to be early, because there is no reason to hide anything from them, because we are working for them and we want to create the best product, the best data product for them. So it's all about them from my perspective.
And your company, not only do you offer visualization libraries, you have some other offerings that DataViz Clarity has. What are some of the other products that folks can currently find through DataViz Clarity?
So exactly, yes. I have the last release I've made 3 weeks ago, I believe, was the dashboard assessment. And the dashboard assessment is a small two-piece of paper that you can print at home or at the office. And with the same constraint and the same idea of minimalism, I have struggled with this word, even in French. We can print this and assess and find what are the weaknesses and the strengths of a dashboard. And I don't talk about best practices, not only best practices. There are a ton of video and resources online to evaluate the charts, the color, the burden of the eye, anything. This is clearly not the thing I wanted to put into the dashboard assessment. Even if we have to assess this part, but the dashboard assessment will help you visualize what went well and not well during the process before starting the development, during the development, and even if you had the right audience, the right stakeholders, when you develop the dashboard. So for instance, with many different diagrams, it's the same thing. You just need a paper because you will have to draw inside the page. And by answering 36 questions, it will give you some scores, five different scores. With those scores, you will have to draw onto those diagrams on the second page, and it will give you the health check of your dashboard, of your data product. And I don't like when I'm in some meeting and people were like, oh, this dashboard is not so good, this dashboard is great, this dashboard is... What are the facts? Maybe it's a beautiful dashboard, but it brings no value to the company, no value to the end users. So that's one of the quest and goal of the dashboard assessment, is to bring back the right questions with dashboards, and what are the identity? Is it a decision-making dashboard or an exploration one? If it's an exploration dashboard, how low is the granularity of your data? What is the purpose of the dashboard? Is it to improve communication, make better decision, solve any problem? And what is the data literacy level of your audience? So there is many questions about that, even with performance, accessibility, because I believe that a dashboard that is great will not be used if you have to open 55 window and have 87 clicks before finding it on your computer. So the goal is to, with the easiest way possible, just a paper, to bring sense and common sense around the use of a dashboard. So it can be used before. You can even still use it as a checklist when you are starting to design a dashboard, or it could be when the dashboard is already in production.
We often talk about design as a product, as a process, and as a mindset. And I love your dashboard assessment because it covers all three of those things. It can improve dashboards as a product, dashboards as a process of creating a product, but also strengthen the dashboard creators so that they get better at asking the right kinds of questions. And I would say that knowing the kinds of questions to ask, like your dashboard assessment shows, is an important part of data literacy. Data literacy doesn't just apply to the end users. It also applies to the people in data and design. We need to figure out the right questions to ask, and that's not always easy. And so I love the educational aspect of the dashboard assessment, helping people think better about data and design.
Yeah, exactly. And that also exactly why I add to this digital product, the access to the community, because I really want people to connect, to talk about it, to show their assessment, since there is no confidential. I can still even share one of the results of my assessment on LinkedIn, and it's completely okay. But you will clearly see that my dashboard is in pain, looking at some diagram. So that's why I've created the community. I want people to connect, to learn from themselves, and to create this dynamic between all those people using data visualization.
And you're soon, next week, you're going to be full-time doing data viz clarity rather than the part-time that you're doing now. Where do you see the company going? What are you going to spend more time doing?
Yes, I will have more time for illustration creation, visual creation, because from now I have a full-time job as a consultant in the exact same field, data visualization designer, and could I say process creators around the design process. I'm also a trainer, and it could be crazy, but since 2 years, I'm creating data viz clarity just during the evening and during the night and weekend. So I can't wait to have more time to create more illustrations, new products coming their way. And the next one, because I've sent a survey and I have so many people asking for a masterclass around the design process. So the dashboard assessment is one thing. It's just to understand if the dashboard is okay, not okay, what are the weaknesses, the strengths. But I don't teach you how to create your own process in your company and which templates to use, which question to ask during this interview, this workshop. So I can't wait to create the masterclass and share it with you.
We'll look forward to that. One question that a lot of entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs wonder about is, when is the right time to quit my full-time job and work on my own business full-time? So for you, what was the answer to that question? How did you know that the time was right to start doing data viz clarity full time?
I think that you have to wait until you think that you are fully prepared for this, and you also have to do those two missions at the same time for some amount of time. But mostly, don't get exhausted by this. This is mainly a warning I have. So from my side, I don't think I was quite prepared to start data viz clarity, but the welcoming was so warm and so many people were interested about the illustration and the product. It helps me create the company. But yeah, you have to be careful to create the switch at the right moment, not too early, because you have to be to have the finance, of course, but not too late. I didn't want to make any mistakes on my data viz clarity strategy and either for the company I work for. So I don't know if it's answered your question, but...
So it sounds like you don't completely know when the time is right. You're never completely ready, but at some point you decide to take the jump.
It's too late now.
It's too late. No looking back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Aurelien, we're so happy to see your success, and I look forward to the continued success of DataViz Clarity. Where can people find you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for the this opportunity, guys. You can find me easily on, I say easily, but my first name and my last name are so complicated for most of the people. You can find me in the link on LinkedIn. You probably will share a link, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And then on datavizclarity.com. That's it. I have a Twitter, but I'm not so... I don't post so much on Twitter, mostly LinkedIn. And yeah, DataViz Clarity community and blog.
Perfect. Well, Aurelien, thank you again so much. We look forward to seeing your success, and I'll sign up for your class. I could learn some visualization principles. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Great day to you. Thank you.